glad Brother Ken's getting some vacation. It does you good to get a break every now and then. If y'all will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. Thinking this morning, how many of you guys have experienced God's grace? How many of you have experienced God's wrath? Nobody raised their hand. God's just as capable to be a God of wrath as He is a God of grace. Almost everybody raised their hand on grace and nobody on wrath. Isn't that something? Because I don't think I've ever experienced God's wrath. I think I've experienced some judgment every now and then that I deserved. But He's withheld the wrath that I deserved. He's a good God. Lord, we come to You this morning as humbly as we can, dear Lord God, asking Your blessing, dear Lord God, on these people, dear Lord, and on this service, Lord. I pray that You be with Brother Mike, dear Lord, as he brings the lesson, the preaching this morning, dear Lord God. Lord, guard my tongue that I wouldn't say anything, dear Lord God, that would go against You. And Lord, that Your people would get help today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, I want to look a little bit. I'm going to be teaching just a little bit different than I usually do this morning. I'm going to be looking at chapter 6 of Daniel, and I'm going to be going verse by verse. Just what the Lord's put on my heart this morning. So in verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius." Darius was the king. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." Okay, so if you'll picture this structure of administration for King Darius, it was King Darius, it was 3 presidents, and under that it was 120 princes. That's what we call a very flat organization, a flat org structure. A flat org structure puts the guy at the top closest to the people. Okay, if you have a tall org structure, you start putting layers of management between the top guy and the folks that are actually out there doing the work, or the people. Well, a flat org structure indicates that the leader wants to have the story or the words on the ground closest to his ears, so it doesn't get filtered through too many people. So King Darius was a man, just on my assumption, by the way he laid out his org structure, that wanted to be close to the people. Typically, that's a good caring man. That's a man that wants to do right by his folks. It says here that he set that structure up that way with 3 presidents and 120 princes so that he would suffer no loss. That means no financial loss. So that his kingdom wouldn't diminish, but it would grow. It says in verse 3, it says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So, there's something special about Daniel here. Daniel was, according to one of the writers, was about 90 years old at this time. And he had gained favor. He had gained favor with King Darius. And it seems that Daniel carried a good bit of favor with the kings before Darius as well. Daniel had God's blessing on him. You see, the favor with people is fickle. And God can give you favor with people that you never thought you would get favor with. And God can put you in positions that you never deserved or you never thought you deserved because He's giving you favor with other people, the people who have the power to put you in those positions. And that's what's happened to Daniel here, is he had favor with God. There's something unique about Daniel. He was different. It said that he had an excellent spirit on him. The only way you can get an excellent spirit from God is to be pleasing to God. So Daniel had this excellent spirit. And you know, sometimes it's okay to be a little different and to address things different than the crowd. Sometimes being different causes you to be lifted up the way it did Daniel. It's okay to stand your ground and do the right thing. It says, Daniel stood out because his reactions were principled in God's Word. No one wondered where Daniel was going to stand on an issue. He had his self grounded in God's Word. In verse 4, it says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So, here you got three presidents and 120 princes. Daniel is the one president that's above them all. And this group of people, these other two presidents, wanted to find fault with Daniel. Why would they do that? They were jealous. Okay, in a whole kingdom, if you're one of the top three, isn't that a pretty good position to be in? But they wanted more. They wanted more. They wanted what Daniel had because they were jealous. What does jealousy do to you? Jealousy will make you do things you never meant to do. Sometimes you'll look back on some of your actions and you'll say, I can't believe I did that. I cannot believe that came out of my mouth. I can't believe I hurt somebody that way. I can't believe it. And we never want to admit that we were jealous. But it pulls the ugliest, meanest, most spiteful things out of us. And that's what happened here. These men wanted more. There were two levels from the king. Even the princes, the 120 princes, were basically two levels from the king. And they gathered up along with these presidents to find fault with Daniel. It's one thing you can be sure. You don't have to be jealous of someone else if you're in the spot that God wants you in. Because if you got what they had, if you got in their spot, you wouldn't be in the place where God could bless you anymore. Find the spot God wants you in, whether it's high or low, and stay there. And that's where God can offer you the fullness of life. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You just aren't going to find Daniel doing anything wrong. You're not going to find him lying. You're not going to find him cheating. He's going to be the one that's paying his bills. You're not going to hear him screaming at his spouse or at his kids. You're just not going to find anything wrong with Daniel. So the only way you can get him is the one thing that he's not going to deviate from. He's not going to deviate from the law of his God. It tells me that Daniel was pretty flexible and workable in all matters. You probably couldn't stir him into much of an argument until it came down to the Word of God. And that's where he would stand firm. He was probably a man that could get things done. No doubt he was second to the king, so he probably knew how to negotiate. He probably had a lot of diplomacy skills. He would bend and he would waver until it came down to the Word of God. And he wouldn't move. And this is why he found favor. Someone who's consistent like that, even if you don't like what they're saying, you know that they're going to be the same in the next room when you're not there. You know that whatever the situation comes up, they're going to have the moral standard to try to do what's right. And no one's ever going to wonder where they stand on things. You trust someone like that. Whether you like them or not, you trust them. You trust them to always be faithful to the core character and to the core being. In verse 6 it says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. So, first of all, they gathered together. It said they assembled. Now, when you assemble together, a lot of times there's trouble coming. They grouped up and they started murmuring and chattering. Let's figure out how we can get one more step up. Let's figure out how we can bring Daniel down. Then they went to the king and started complimenting him. Said, King Darius, live forever. We want you to be the king forever. Can you believe that out of all those people, roughly 122 people, nobody stood up for Daniel? Nobody stood on Daniel's behalf. At least it doesn't say here that they did. As good of a man as Daniel no doubt was, and if he was that good of a man, he was good to everybody around him. When it came down to it, the peer pressure, even though somebody might have had it in their heart to defend him, Nobody was had the courage or the bravery to stand up and defend him. You know, sometimes our pastor is going to be, it's going to be him against the world for some of the things he stands for. And you may be out in the world and be all alone and have to defend his position, or at least not join in on the crowd that's tearing the position down. What are you going to do? Peer pressure's tough, isn't it? Well, out of this group, nobody stood for Daniel. Verse 7, it says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute. We all got together, your whole staff here, your whole brain trust, we've got together and we've decided something great for you, King. That you would make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O King, he shall be cast into the den of the lions. So this was, it was all against Daniel, and it was all against God. But it was all for the king. They were trying to convince this king that this was something that he should do. Now, why would the king choose to do this? Well, they'd already built him up, right? If everyone has to come to him for the next 30 days, maybe he was trying to establish a culture in his kingdom that he was in charge. Maybe they convinced him that this is the way you establish your position with the people, is they'll come and they'll see how wise you are because they won't ask anything of anyone else. You'll be making all their decisions for them just for 30 days. Just for 30 days. It won't hurt anything. Just for 30 days. Just for 30 days and you can establish yourself. Well, why would the king decide to do that? Well, maybe King Darius had a little bit of pride in him like the rest of us. Any of y'all ever want to feel like you're the top dog? I mean, he was already king. He knew he was top dog. But even if you're at the top, you want to leave a legacy and you want your people to love you. And you want to be the best king that was ever there. So for him to establish himself as the decision maker amongst his people, even after the 30 days, they would continue to come to him because obviously they would have seen how wise he was. In verse 8 it says, "Oh, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." Now this law that they referred to, once a king made a law by the Medes and the Persians, this decree could never be revoked. Not even by the king who set the decree. That was the law. So that was the way they trapped King Darius into this. They were smart enough to know that the law over the kingdom would trap him. Once he made his decision, he couldn't back out of it. I think he did it out of pride. I think he wanted everyone to focus on him for those 30 days. Verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." He just didn't change when it came to what he was going to do for God. The man's 90 years old. He wasn't at the top because he pursued the top. He was at the top just because he was who he was. And somehow, for some reason, God had given him favor and an excellent spirit. And somehow, for some reason, God had given him favor with the kings, King Darius and the one before him. And somehow, for some reason, Daniel was just where he was. He didn't ask for it. He didn't care if he lost it. He just didn't care. He cared about one thing, and that was his relationship with God. And everything else could just fall out where it did. Because he went right to his room, opened up the window, and conducted his business the way he always did. He didn't support the culture that the king was trying to pass down because he knew it wasn't right. He wasn't even at the meeting where the decree was set up. They didn't invite him because he would have convinced the king otherwise, because he had that ability within him. Daniel cared more for his commitment to God than his position with men. Do you know that every one of you guys will make that decision several times, probably a week, of whether you care more about your position with God or your position with men. You'll make that decision over and over throughout your lives. You just will. You'll get a chance to trade God for the world all over your days. And it's easier once you've made the right decision to continue making the right decision. But when you start giving a little ground, you start giving up, you start falling into the trap. And next thing you know, you'll wake up in 5 years or 3 years or 6 months, and you'll be looking in the mirror at something you never intended to happen. That's how easy it happens. Make the small decisions when it's time to make the right decisions. All right, verse 11. It said, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Oh, they assembled again. Why do they always get brave in groups? I bet you not one of them would have gone against Daniel one-on-one. 90-year-old man, I got a feeling Daniel could have handled that just fine. But they got in a group, right? There's bravery in groups. There's bravery in mobs. Why do gangs walk in groups? They call them gangs. Because alone, they're not so tough. But as a group, they'll do anything. In verse 12 it says, Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed the decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions? So they say, well, hey, you remember this law, this decree you made? You did that, right? All right, you remember it. Here comes the punchline. Then the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then when the king heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. That's when he realized that he'd gotten himself in a mess. Because he knew that this law that he had made couldn't be undone, not even by him. And he also knew that that Daniel was his right-hand man, and he trusted him greatly. And he probably felt like just a flat-out fool. He felt like he had been duped. And this king that was so built up with pride that all the people would come to him for his wisdom and his intelligence had just realized that, oh no, I'm not so smart after all, and I've created a mess. In verse 14 it says, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So King Darius had one of those sleepless nights. Y'all ever have a sleepless night where your brain wakes up and you just worry for the rest of the night about something? Well, that was Daniel. That was Darius. And I'm sure Darius was calling in his council. He was calling people in. Let's look at this law. Let's bring out the paperwork. Is there a loophole? Is there something I can do? Maybe his historians. Is there a precedence for anything like this ever being overturned? What can I do? What kind of trick can I pull? And he'd come up empty, and there was nothing he could do. The king couldn't overcome the law that had bound him. Verse 15, Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Do you think King Darius really believed that? He just spent the whole night before trying to undo it and trying to protect Daniel. Of course he didn't believe it. If he'd have believed it, he wouldn't have spent the night before. He'd just gone ahead and spent that first night throwing Daniel in the lion's den and gotten it over with. He was still counting on himself to get it done. Yep. Then he realized, well, I can't do anything here. All right, verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Okay, so one writer said that Daniel was bound by the law. He was bound by the decree to be thrown in the den. He was bound by the physical. He had the law and the physical. The physical was the stone that was rolled over the hole. So Daniel wasn't strong enough to push the stone out of the way. And he was bound by the signet. They put clay around the edge of the stone to seal it up. And when the king put his ring, put his symbol in that seal, it meant that nobody could come save Daniel. His friends could have come that night and torn it down and moved the stone, but they would have all been put to death because they crossed the signet of the king. So he was bound by the law, by the physical, and by the signet. So his situation was hopeless. There was nothing that could be done for Daniel. Sometimes our situations become hopeless. And this is when God can show what God can do, and only God can do. For the sake of time, verse 18, then the king went to his place and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Second sleepless night for Darius. Darius was helpless. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried and with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee. O king, I have done no hurt. So Daniel was surrounded by the lions, and he'd spent the night with them. The king yells through the cave wall to Daniel, and, you know, if I've got a bunch of lions piled up in front of me, my reaction is going to be, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I've made it all night. I'm not going to be yelling back out where somebody can hear me through a cave wall. But Daniel had already seen what God could do, and he might have been in there sitting on those lions, as far as I know. They probably make a pretty good bed. You know, God can turn your lions into lion pillows. There's a place where only God can offer peace, and it's in a hopeless place. It's the place where the king can't help, your friends and family can't help, you're bound by the law, by the physical, by the decree. No one can reach to you. Only God can reach in that situation and help. And you know, you see people go through things and the peace that God's able to offer, like shutting the lion's mouths. And it's unbelievable what God's power can do in those situations. And we get in those situations sometimes. And that I think that's really the only time we realize and we understand God's power, is when everybody else has tried. Everybody has sat up at night and done what they could, to no avail. And the only thing left is God's power and God's peace. Well, that's where Daniel was, and that's what Daniel got. Daniel got that peace of God. So, I'll cut it off here, but what ended up happening is the princes and the presidents were thrown in the den as punishment. And their families were thrown in the den, their wives and their children. And they were devoured by the lions. God took His protection off of those lions. And if you think your sins are only your sins and you're the only one that's going to pay, you're wrong. Everybody in contact with you pays for your sins. Your family, your kids, and it goes for generations and generations. You just don't get by with anything. There's always a payday coming. And, you know, we make our choice in life. We can either have the protection that Daniel had, or we can have the judgment that these other guys had. The first question I asked here was, how many of you experienced God's grace? Everybody raised their hand. Nobody raised their hand on God's wrath, even though we've all deserved it. We've all deserved God's wrath. God is a good God, and He leans toward grace. I mean, He leans real heavy toward grace, and if He can give you grace, it's right there for the taking. He really wants to do that. He really wants to love on us. Just like you want to love on your children. If they'll let you, you'll just love them to death. If they'll open up to you and let you, you'll treat them just as good as you can treat them. And that's the way God is to us. He just wants us to follow His laws. He wants us to choose him over the world. That's all he wants. He gave Daniel great honor because he wasn't willing to give anything up. And in the end, he still wasn't willing to give anything up. And I doubt he fought when they pushed him into the den. He probably just walked right on in. Let it be what it is, right? Because God is God. One final note. Spurgeon said that, "Be great believers. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven down to your soul." Amen.